Okay. All right, I'd like to call to order the October 2nd, 2024 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. We obviously don't have anybody joining by phone.
Okay, all right.
We do have one member absent. Brittany's absent, so if you all are open to it, I need a motion on that.
Yeah, I motion we excuse Brittany from this meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
You don't have to put that in when you talk.
Okay.
I'll skip that.
So we do have a rather full agenda for this evening, but we do need to get approval of the agenda or determine if there's any adds or edits. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, thank you.
My fault.
Same with the minutes from the our last meeting, which was on June 26th. Assume everybody's had the opportunity of reviewing the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
I motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right. We, from a public comment standpoint, anything? All right. We're going to start with old business. The only topic, which collectively there's quite a few documents to review, is the Seabirds Motel special use permit. Council, was there some comment you wanted to make in advance?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Just want to set the tone procedurally. It's in your agenda package, but I'm not sure where it is. Y'all are going to do a review and comment. Now, that's a little bit different than what we do for text amendments. We call it a review and a report, and we adopt a consistency statement. But in this case, we're not going to go that far because it's a quasi-judicial matter for town council. They'll make up their own mind, and when they make their decision, it'll be based on evidence. However, I want to point out a few things that I think you should cover. What I just handed out is from the code. If you start at the bottom, 4D, and then turn the page, those are the four considerations that you need to hear from the applicant on. Now, these are actually set forth as requirements for council when they have their evidentiary hearing, so you're not taking evidence. But nonetheless, if you're going to comment on this to council, these are the issues that need to be addressed. Now, you can ask all the questions you want about the site plan, about off-street parking, et cetera, but it's important that you cover these four matters one way or another. That's the first point. Second point, we're not going to vote up or down on the application, but we're going to comment on the application, and of course, it's not needed. I'll draft it, and I haven't drafted ahead of time because I don't know what the comments are, but some examples would be, upon hearing from the applicant, PCC is of the opinion that the requirements set forth in yada yada will be met, or PCC has issues with this particular requirement or that particular requirement, somewhere along that line. So you'll discuss an open session and reach a consensus in open session. But I don't think, I've been thinking about it, I don't think there's any vote or motion to be made. You're just going to review, comment, I'll draft something for the chairman to write, to sign. And that's my final point about this. You wouldn't think so, but your written comment, which is required by the code and which goes to council, that written comment is itself going to be a piece of evidence. So, Chairman, you'll be signing the comment. I hope you'll be available for the council meeting, which I think can be in November.
I would think so, but you don't think they need a motion to agree for the chair to sign it? You don't think that there should be any motion?
Well, it doesn't. I don't think it's a requirement, but I have no problem with that. If you want to entertain a motion at the end based on the consensus you reached,
or some, a consensus, one of the two.
Yeah, well, you're going to agree on things in your discussion. If you want a motion to
authorize the chairman to sign a written comment based on the understandings you've reached in your discussion, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, you need to be at the meeting. You won't be called as a witness, but you could be called as a witness.
Attention,
Zoning
Hotel.
Engineer,
respond to unconscious or fainting. 460 European Drive, Cross Street, and Center Drive, and Center Drive. Engineer, respond using PS5.
The other thing is the site plan is loaded of information. Such that I couldn't make any sense out of it on my small computer screen.
So Ms. Chase and Ms. Sanders authorized me to make these enlarged copies.
But I would ask you to, unless it's absolutely necessary, don't mark them up because we can use them for counsel if there are no issues. If there's some issues, we end up getting a revised site plan from the applicant, then I'll make copies for counsel. But if these fly through, then let's get them back at the end.
Okay.
And that'll do it for me.
So, Counsel, just clarification. So, within our comments, should we be commenting specifically on each of these four items?
Well, I would think so. Mm-hmm. I think that, yeah. I don't know what you mean by y'all are going to hear, and then you're going to discuss, and then you're going to agree. Now, whatever words you want to use, I think it's important if you're going to comment to address one way or another those four requirements, because that's what it's all about.
Okay.
And I've tried to give you some examples. Let's say I'm PZC and 1, 2, 4 look good, and the 3 concerns me based on what I've heard. Then perhaps the comment would be easy after hearing from the applicant and the director of development and compliance. PZC is of the opinion that requirements 1, 2, and 4 can be met by the applicant based on evidence submitted at the council's hearing. However, PZC has concerns about requirement 3, something along those lines.
And a follow up. Given this is new to us, would the comments only be specific to those 4 points, as far as what gets documented?
Because some of those points, for example, one of those points is, and you've got a bunch of material in your. Let me make 2 comments to answer your. If you take a look at the requirements, because they. By their nature would involve ancillary issues. For example, if there was public health, safety, or welfare concerns, you're going to address why you have those concerns. But the point I really wanted to make was, look at number 2, meets all required conditions and specs under the town code. The crux of this matter is the code's off-street parking regulations. So naturally, you'd be referring to those. And those are in your
packet.
Engine
19 Alpha, Engine 19, okay. Respond to 1-2-3-3-3.
The other things that are in your packet that...
7207 Group Record, Cross Street of Tarpon Drive, Engine 19, respond using PS4.
The other thing that's in your... There's some other things that are in your packet that we can address up front. The applicant's application, both, you recall that originally this was a pickleball situation, so there was a separate site plan and a separate application, then that changed to the parking site plan that we have right now. In both cases, the applicant's application doesn't make clear that the applicant is actually speaking on behalf of the property owner actually being an LLC. It just looks like the applicant individually is making this application. So there's a follow-up email that will be part of the record that raises these questions in which he satisfactorily answered. That part of the record will be, as a result of those questions, an executed agency form. So you don't need to get into all that if you are that technical. It's been established that he is speaking as an appointed agent of Seabird, yada, 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 LLC, which is the owner of the property. Another issue that came up that was confusing on the application there's several parcels involved, and apparently there's a recombination.
He lists
the parcels that are involved in this application. I think it's all of them except one, but he can clarify that.
Okay.
So those little issues that you might pick up on, they've been addressed.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Council. So, Mr. Tollins, thank you for being here again. Is there anything you would like to present to us kind of going into this discussion?
Sure. I've got paper copies of all this information that you might have received digitally already. Is that?
I believe, I mean, we have an extensive list of documents.
I gave them the two pictures that you gave me and then included the site plan as well. So they have those three documents.
They also have your application.
And your application.
Yep. That email where you answered the questions.
Yes, sir.
Properly updated, the two pictures and the site plan.
Okay. Well, I will give you probably the information that you already have. I'd like to take one and pass it down just in a paper form.
Those are your extras. I've got it. I've looked at them already.
Henry, you can write a book from his wife.
Yes, definitely.
So, the last time we met, however many months ago that was, I didn't really have a full understanding of what was going to be kind of required or what you guys would be needing to see, so we've kind of overloaded you with information and data, so hopefully there's not a whole lot of confusion here. The largest document that he passed out is the site plan, which is extremely informative as far as what we'd like to do. These other graphics in color, they're basically pictures of the property with an overlay of the design of the mock-up. Another one when there's actually vehicles after it's completed. And then another one from the corner, kind of giving you that view from J and Fort Fisher Boulevard, as well as a copy of the survey. So as he mentioned, there was several questions about my representation and the applicant getting application getting filled out from me directly versus me representing the LLC. So I think we got all that cleared up, as well as the modification to the parcels. So.
Can you speak about the recombo? Did you do that? Where are we? What parcels are involved?
Yes, it's been signed off. I believe it's still in the office, and nobody came and picked it back up yet to bring to the. So it just has to go to the county to get recorded.
And what did the recombo do?
Did
it create new parcels? Did you subdivide some of the parcels?
No.
I can answer that for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
So there was four parcels, the main parcel being the motel and the pool and the structure behind it, and then there was three separate parcels on the side. In an effort to clear all that up, we wanted to recombine the three on the side to make one large area for this special use permit.
And is there, do I remember correctly that there's another parcel out there that's got a residential structure that's not part of this? That might be a mistake on my part.
No, that's within. It's a separate structure, but it's within.
Okay. It's within the combination of the three.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was non-conforming before. We've actually made it conforming by doing the recombination.
Oh, really?
So there's four parcels, mm-hmm. and you're going to combine three of them and still keep one separate. Is that right?
Right. So. We want to have the motel with the pool and the other structure in the back remain its own by itself, so that if there comes a time down the road where we go to redevelop what we're currently talking about turning into a parking lot, that there's no issues as far as entitlements or trying to break off part of the loan or mortgage or anything that might be tied to that. That'll go ahead and be done now.
Okay. One carryover issue from prior was the fact that there's a required number of parking spaces specific to the motel, and there was a shortage. How has that been addressed?
So that has been addressed on the site plan. It kind of spells out in this existing asphalt parking. And then up in the front left corner is where you'll see all the other reserves and or paid parking. So we've met that requirement of how many units are needed, as well as this back top right section here is two more spots that are reserved for the hotel purpose.
Just to kind of build on that, the required parking would be reserve parking. You wouldn't include paid parking in the required parking. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right.
That's why he has them identified in there.
As reserve parking. Okay.
Paid parking.
Just, and I'm going to ask our attorney this too. We've only had a few special use permits since I've been involved in the P&Z for a long time. But when I was in California, we'd have them every single week. And from my understanding of a special use permit is that you can set conditions to that special use permit.
That's correct.
Okay, and that if
reasonable conditions reasonably related to
right. For example,
and that's council, they have the discretionary authority to do that.
Right, okay. I just want to make sure, because I would recommend that as a condition that reserve parking stay as reserve parking to meet the required parking. You know, that somewhere along the line it doesn't all of a sudden become paid parking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Understood.
Well, that would be a condition anyway. I mean, right. He's required to have that parking for our zoning laws.
Right, right.
So once he gets rid of it, then
well, the reason that I think it's useful as a condition to a special use permit is if it's not met, the use permit can be pulled. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that correct, too? I mean, that's my understanding of a special use permit, is that if the conditions aren't met sometime in the future, actually that permit can be pulled.
I'm just listening to both of you, I'm trying to understand if the code makes that requirement anyway.
Well, that was kind of the basis of how we even started the conversation, was making sure we had enough reserved for the existing structure, and then kind of built off of that as far as what we'd be able to charge.
I think the condition better stated is that the, hypothetically speaking, if the special use permit is granted, that the reserved parking signage persist, you know.
Right. It just adds a little more, you know, a little bit bigger teeth to the, you know, requirement, you know, rather than just a general parking requirement. Okay.
And just from a check and balance standpoint, you're in agreement, the reserve spaces have now been addressed to your satisfaction?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. I don't know if it's for you, Bethany, or who, but what about as far as, I thought if there was a parking lot with so many parking spots, you had to have so many for disability, handicap parking. I don't see that anywhere on the site plan.
Yeah, I mean, because this isn't his, the hotel itself is already existing, so it falls into the prior existing rules. But this new parking lot would be a separate entity. I'm not sure that there is a requirement to have the handicap spaces in a public parking lot, but I'll have to check on that for you.
Well, we're required to have them right at the beach access. Don't we have to have a certain percentage of our parking mm-hmm. in
no,
the town?
We do, but this is a private lot. So okay. It's a little bit different.
Okay.
But that's a follow-up, though.
Mm-hmm. I can follow up on that, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if that's something you guys would like to see, then we're more than happy to do that.
It's just a matter of whether it's required.
Required or not.
It's not serving the hotel. It's a private parking lot separate
mm-hmm.
from the hotel. So.
Mm-hmm. No, you have to compliment you on how well you came in prepared versus where we were last time. I think it's great.
Yeah. Right.
One of the issues, you know, we do have a lighting ordinance, which is pretty strict in terms of light trespass. Is there going to be lighting on this or not?
That was not something that...
I know, I just thought of it right sure. now, so...
We had not planned on it.
Okay,
to,
all right.
You know, to be fully transparent, if that's something that you guys would like to see, we can obviously...
I mean, I personally would rather not see lighting because then yeah. you have the opportunity for trespass, but, yeah. you know, just that... Make sure that if somebody decides to put in lighting later,
right.
you don't want to have this bright light that's spread out over sure. everything because we do have a lighting ordinance mm-hmm. that yeah. prohibits that. Okay.
Yeah, I think the property itself is already pretty well lit. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. this is a grassy corner of the parcel.
Right.
But, yeah, the property itself, as well as the outline of the roof, has got permanent Christmas tree lights, so it's pretty
okay.
right. fair lit right now.
Okay.
But as you'll see, there's an abundance of parking. We also put in beautification, because that was kind of a question of whether we would do anything with that or not. And I think in an effort to make it somewhat presentable and not just a parking lot, that's something that we'd be interested in doing as far as if it falls in your right-of-way, you know, how far to kind of come to an agreement as far as how far to take it, if that makes sense. It is all kind of spelled out on there. Mm-hmm. What type of plants there are, you know, how we would, you know, potentially give up a spot to have this top left corner here mm-hmm. is more of a nice bed that was made, and you know, have some palm trees that are right where the entrance kind of takes place. You know, really dress it up and make it mm-hmm. presentable for the area.
I think it's great. Given what happened 2 weeks ago, a lot of people are interested in permeable versus impermeable surfaces. Mm-hmm. And just to make sure that we're clear, this is not going to be cemented or asphalt.
That's correct.
Okay, it is going to be...
Just grass.
Just grass.
Yeah, just grass, okay. Okay.
And the only area that really was affected that was, you know, wet for several days was this front lower portion. Probably four of these spots would be affected.
Okay. You know, and the dog park will be grass too, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty standard. It's one of those deals. If it's, you know, too wet to use, then it gets closed down. You know, we're not trying to create, you know, an obstacle where somebody, like on Carolina Beach, they did one across from the McDonald's, and the very first guests that pulled in, they had gravel, but they didn't compacted very well, and so the first six people that parked in there had to get towed out. So that, you know, that parking lot kind of got blacklisted. But you know, for us, we want to try to keep it as much green space as possible. You know, you all have seen what the season kind of looks like down here, and with fishing season, things have kind of picked up. Whereas down in Carolina Beach, things have kind of really calmed down a good bit.
All right. Well, again, compliments on the documentation.
Appreciate that.
Certainly.
Do we want to maybe run through those four questions that, or four areas that he was?
Yeah, Bethany. Was there anything else though that you would want to bring up at this point, just before we get into those 4 points?
We discussed the landscaping and what can and can't be on the mm-hmm. right way. So, as far as I'm concerned, it meets everything within the B1 district that's allowed.
Okay, good. Thank you.
The other part is enforcing the parking, and we've spoken with the group that enforces it for Curie Beach. And, you know, if this were to move forward, that's who our provider would be.
Who is that?
I'm not sure. The
premium park. Premium.
Okay.
Premium.
Premium.
Mm-hmm. So you'd enter into a separate contract with them?
Correct. But they're already here. You know, it's not like we're bringing in somebody that has, you know, no presence on the island already or in this town. So.
Gotcha.
How do they keep yours separate from the town's? Just a different tax number?
Probably.
Yeah.
Just a different lot number, I guess, whenever they're going through their software.
One of the issues, and I got confused when I went to Carolina Beach, mm-hmm. and went to a restaurant. It was a private lot down there, and I got confused as to whether my Carolina Beach parking would allow me to park at that private lot. And a little teeny sign that said no.
Right.
You know, so I actually had to, when I was walking out, I said, oops, and I had to take my car out of there. Are you going to have a sign like that, or?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so there's several private lots. Yeah, I mean, it's scheduled to have 5 signs currently.
Okay. They show up on your site plan, don't they?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Will it be like Carolina Beach did? Town passes not, doesn't work here, basically?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I had to read. I backed out of it, yeah. But it was a small site.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Do you want to walk through the different questions? Or?
So, first item that we're supposed to address will not materially endanger the public health, safety, or welfare if located where proposed. Any comments,
questions?
I think
it'll add to it. I think it'll add to public safety and welfare, you know, from the way it's proposed here. Just, you know, I mean, when you think about walking, do you have an existing sidewalk? Is that a paved sidewalk?
Yes,
it is a paved sidewalk, okay.
Yeah, it's only on the Fort Fisher side, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there is that sod buffer zone from your plantings out to the actual street. So when the vehicles pull in and out of those two driveways, there'll be plenty of opportunity to see pedestrians or other vehicles to see them.
So the only question I would have as far as public health is, as long as the dog location is kept up.
Yeah, that's not an issue. We have not full-time staff.
No, well, that's existing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's existing.
Yeah, well, continues to be kept up.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a priority for us. You know, just all of our properties are pet friendly, so ideally we don't want to have anything overgrown or full of disease and you know, maintain the kind of amenity that we offer.
Okay. All right. Any other comment on point one?
No, not on point one.
Okay. All right, moving on to two. Meets all required conditions and specifications under the town code. And I think we've already heard from Bethany in that regard that she feels like this is in full compliance.
With the follow-up on the handicap parking.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments on that one? Item three, will not substantially injure the value of adjoining property or alternatively is a public necessity.
I think this will add to the value of adjoining properties.
Well, the bottom line is you've not heard anything to the contrary.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Correct. All righty. And last point, if developed and used as proposed, will be harmonious and compatible with the area in which it is proposed to be located and is generally consistent with the town's comprehensive plan.
I'm definitely in favor of number four because we only have 4 blocks that are accessible for commercialization. And at least since I've been here, we've had a difficulty getting the backside of our 2 blocks to have anything. Mm-hmm. And I would hate to see houses end up on those blocks to the detriment of any more businesses being able to come in. So I'm definitely in agreement.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I would only, again, reiterate the idea that you have a condition that the reserved parking stay reserved parking.
Okay, council, is there anything further that you would like us to make sure that we address?
I think if you want to entertain a motion for instructing council to draft a comment taking your findings into consideration.
Okay. And with that one outstanding item, are we prepared to do that tonight?
You could make that motion contingent upon Ms. White's follow-up on that, which, given given all the parameters, really like to hear back on that this week.
Is that the handicap?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up right now.
Or you could just make, you know, recommend a condition that it satisfies the handicap requirements.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Just time-wise, just want to get it nailed down as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm.
All right, so, gentlemen, do we have a motion to address specifically what council just suggested?
So moved.
All the stuff you said.
With the two conditions that we talked about, satisfies handicap requirements and satisfies reserve stays reserved.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be my
suggestion. I'm going to take Craig's motion.
Okay, that's fine.
Yep. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Oh, give it to him.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. You did a good job.
Thank you.
That's passing back to
That one site plan you've got, I think that came from Jim, right?
Yeah, the big one.
The folded site plan? It was in my stack, yeah. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for allowing us to push you out. I appreciate that. I'm sorry I bothered you.
No, it's all good. Y'all's communication is fantastic.
I got yours.
Yeah.
I
got two.
Boy,
you got it.
And we're aiming for
the
November council meeting, which would be November the 18th. We don't seem to be at that.
Okay.
And I'll
send you. Okay. Alrighty, and then we do have two items under new business. The first being a review of chapters 8, 9, 10. And some re-review on 15 and some other things that are all part of Vice Chair Barlock's work in trying to clean up all of our code. I think Council, did you want an opening remark on this one?
Just a couple of points while I'm still cleaning up here. I have a lot of comments regarding the proposed EPA, nothing substantive except in my instance. I worked off of copies that I had on the computer and not the agenda copies. So to save time, and to make looking at the subject pages more efficient, let's walk through it page by page and let Joe start off, and when he finishes one page, I'll add my comments and we can move on to the next page. That's the way I'd like to pursue it. If that's okay with you all.
Okay.
Okay with me.
All right, so we're starting with chapter.
Let me get a little, give me just a second, please.
Chapter 8.
Okay. Chapter 8, Joe, right?
Mm-hmm. All righty.
All righty, so as a little review, because we haven't done one of these in a while, the syntactical changes that I'm looking at as I go through these documents are basically correcting cross-references, capitalizing titles and forms, chapter, article, section, subsection, using the correct words there, making sure the titles match in the table of contents on the pages, definition standard wording, capitalizing town council, make it gender neutral, include cross-references to other KBC, Curry Beach Code sections, as applicable, and deleting, actually I've deleted non-revised steps, so you don't see the entire chapter as presented in the document, only those that have some changes associated with them. Now when you get to, I think it's chapter 10, you're going to see every page, because there's just about a change on every page. But let's start out with chapter 8, which is public health and safety. And I want to, Jim, I don't know if you caught me on this one, but starting out right on the first page, the first change there in the headings, it says it was moved to 1540.010. It's actually moved to 1540.130. And the reason this entire section on real estate signs is being moved
1540.030?
130, it should be. 130. And that's the attachment that's in here also.
Of course, That's just a working note. That's not going
to
be part.
Correct. Of that's just a note that that's where it moved to, so everybody knows why it was deleted. And the reason being, section 1540 deals with signs. So I figured let's put the real estate signs in there too, because they're the only sign that's not there. Okay, further down on the page, under state law references, kind of in the middle of page one, you'll see that I added authority to dispose of abandoned maritime vessels according to that general statute. There was a presentation made to town council a few months ago where we actually, it's on here.
I'll cover that.
Okay, you'll cover that. But it was accepted by town council and we endorsed it. So I took some of the wording from that and put it into the ordinance also.
And I'll comment right now, I'm going to recommend when we get to it that we remove 812 both from the heading within the code itself and also that reference, but I'll explain that when we get to it. So you can just mark it.
Okay, so you're going to...
Let's just bookmark it for right now and we'll come back to it when we finish 8.
Okay. So those are really the only substantial changes on the first page, chapter 8. The second page, which starts with letter alpha and goes down, that entire page, they're all syntactical changes.
Now my second page starts with B, beta.
Yeah,
A is on the bottom of my first page.
Well, it's not on the thing.
Yeah, the digital is not that way.
The digital is not that way.
Okay.
All right, so it starts with A or B, whichever.
So your A is the uncontrolled
growth. The uncontrolled growth.
Okay. No change to A.
No changes down through that page, all the way through graffiti nuisances. Item B is on that page also, I have. No changes, substantial, only syntactical. So we go to the third page, and it starts with the middle of a paragraph figure, and then item C, Charlie. Again, no substantial changes on that page at all.
Yeah, I'm wondering, C and D, you have recycles and you have recycling.
Yeah,
and
I think
they need to be consistent, and I wonder if there is such a word as recyclables that we would plug in.
I'm sorry, we're looking at something different then. I'm looking at C, exemptions, and D, prohibition.
Are you in H2, 010?
It's on page 3.
This is on page 2 we're still on.
Oh. No, there were no substantials on page 2. I went to page 3.
Jim, I think you're using the paper. They're using the digital.
Well, they may be using the digital, but we all started on page 1, and I don't know where we are right now.
No, I think what Jim is talking about is on page 2, the digital, C and D.
Okay.
You have recycles in red, and then right below in D, you have recycling.
Does anybody know whether recyclables is a word?
Yeah, I mean, the recommendation is use the same word.
I'll make a motion.
I don't think we need a motion.
Recyclables. I've heard that more than...
I'm so dead.
Or recyclable material. Yeah. I do think it needs to be consistent.
It is a word, if you need
to cancel.
It's a word.
Able to be recycled, or a substance or object that can be recycled. R-E-C-Y-C-L-A-B-L-E.
R-E-C-Y-C-L-A-B-L-E.
Yeah, I would recommend we change recycles and recycling and C and D respectively to recyclables.
Okay. Yeah. Now just to make that note, that word is going to appear
in other places
later on about 50 times. So okay. We'll be changing it, which is fine. And that's what we're looking for, consistency. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Okay, so that's C and D. E, F, and G have no major changes. 82015, A and B, nothing substantial.
Slow down, please. So, since our pages are not in sync, you're at 8215?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
When you get to D,
I've never. That's another interesting word. graffiti.
Yeah, I just think we need to change that to graffiti.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. I just changed graffiting to graffiting.
I think it should just be graffiti. Graffiti. I'm going to be making these changes, so I'll
all right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. And we actually wrote that one, too, didn't we?
Right. You wrote the first one. I wrote the second one. Yep. Now Jim's got the third one.
Sometimes the translation over the Muni code.
You just start using AI on these.
You're going to speak to that, right?
Okay. 82016, light trespass nuisance. Nothing substantial in A1 or 2. Nothing substantial in B. In item C, exemptions, you'll see I crossed out exemption number 5. That's because it's an exact duplicate of number 4. With a note there to Beth to just renumber 6 through 11 is 5 through 10, which I figure you'll know when you just delete that.
I'm good.
So that's just a duplicate sentence.
Hang on just a minute. Okay.
Okay. So now we're down to number 11. Still under C exemptions, but number 11. And I have a question here for us to discuss. It talks about residential porch lights. It limits it to 2 lights in the front, 2 lights in the back, not to exceed 40 watts each. As you drive around town, you see everyone on their porches has these stringers of white lights all over, lighting up the front and the back of their house. We don't talk about those little stringers of lights anywhere, and it seems to exceed this item 11.
We did talk about it when we talked about this particular thing, and we decided that we were just gonna ignore that particular issue, if I remember right.
Well, you know? There's another way of looking at it as well. Sure, 11, which I think is now 10, is that correct?
Correct.
10 tells you what you can use on your porch with respect to those particular lights, front and back. You're right, it doesn't mention stringer lights. However, the general prohibition against lights lights exceeding the maximum set forth in the regulation would cover that. So in other words, if stringer lights are excessive with respect to the light measurements that are required, then they're prohibited, but otherwise they're not. So I don't think, you know, you can ask PZC whether they want to add stringer lights or prohibit stringer lights, but I think the fact that they're not listed is not necessarily controlling, and that the standards required to prevent light trespass are controlling, and if stringer lights violate those standards, then they're prohibited. I doubt that they do. I think we're covered, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
so one of the things, if you had an oceanfront property, and you put stringer lights up and they weren't turtle friendly, you could be
Somewhere in here we, well, look at D5, illuminating by any light source any portion of the beach between the hours of yada, yada, right, yada regarding sea turtles. So I think the sea turtle concerns are covered. Mm-hmm. My recommendation is we don't worry about stringer lights.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. I just brought up the question. We can cross that comment out.
I have a question about the 2 light limit. Is that 2 lights per level?
Per level, you mean like a multi-story house?
Yeah. I mean, you might have a porch on the second story.
Yeah, like in my house, it's 3 levels, and I have 8 lights in the front.
Miss White, did you take note of that?
Pardon me?
I don't like light ornaments at all. And it's impossible to enjoy.
Well,
they're never on at once, but every place there's a door you have a light.
Right. The reason for the lights is also for personal safety, and if you have different levels, like
I would assume
that you would need 2 lights on each level would be acceptable.
I think with the light ordinance and mostly whether there's trespass into the 5 feet into the property next door. It has to be 1 foot candle. Most lights are not going to do that unless it's like a floodlight directed at their property. So
yeah, this is all complaint driven. I mean, you're not driving around checking on this. This is all complaint
sure,
driven. Yeah.
Yes.
But should it say per level?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we should change that.
Yeah, we could do
all
that.
Right.
Well, give me the word.
Limited to a maximum of two in the front and two
in the
back
per level. Yeah, just add a per level after
per level.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Going down through D and E. No substantial changes. F, no substantial changes. In item G, as with some of the other articles that we've revised already, upon the effective date of this section, blah, 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 it's effective. We don't have to say that. I think we've agreed that several times before.
Right.
So item one goes away, and two and three get renumbered to one and two. All right, that takes me to 82020. Nothing substantial. 030, nothing.
Hang on. Ms. Sanders, I'm confused since Ms. White was elevated to a director. Do we still have a code enforcement officer?
She's still a building inspector and code enforcement officer, yes.
So I would think that instead of the building inspector investigating complaints, it ought to be code.
Because we're going to hire another employee and they may also be a building inspector.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is we have a code enforcement officer on the staff, right?
Well, she wears three hats.
Right, but that's one of the hats she wears.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Oh, you're saying add code enforcement officer.
Instead of building inspector enforcing this, it should be code enforcement.
Yeah, code enforcement, yes. Sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't mean to be so flip with my
name. I think you did.
Inspectors are code enforcement officers as well.
Yeah.
And likewise, notice to abate, second line, 82030, that should also be code enforcement officer. I'm pretty sure it's going to end up being a fine and replace because this shows up quite a bit. And there it is again in the last paragraph of 030. And likewise,
it's
040.
It's a lot.
So we change it everywhere?
Yeah, does it need to be changed everywhere?
We just worked through how many different chapters where I don't think we changed
it. We didn't
it.
Change
and
it.
And now we're changing it halfway
well,
through
our
changes.
Right. I think we need to worry about that another day. I'm not going to go through the code top to bottom.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Are we sure we want to change it?
Well, someday you might have separate people being a building inspector.
Why don't you just put or code enforcement?
But the building inspector is in charge of the code enforcement officer, so
yeah,
they're
yeah,
really
so
ultimate. As well. Yeah,
I
they're
feel like that's
responsible.
Confusing when we've just.
Yeah.
So you all, the recommendation is to leave the building inspector?
Why don't we just put the building inspector or code enforcement officer?
I think just leave it.
I don't mind.
I think it should just be consistent. And since we didn't catch it on the first half, I think we should just keep it the same on the second half.
I agree. Just leave it as building inspector.
Okay. Well, nobody wants to hear this, but when we're done with all the chapters, I'm going to go through it again. Because there are
things like this that
have come up throughout.
Oh, wait, we'll do, let AI do that. Because
that
AI will find those things.
AI can do that.
AI can do that.
I love your.
All right.
All right, so no changes to any of those.
Moving on.
Okay. 02030, no changes. 040, no changes. No substantial changes. 050, no substantial changes. 060, 070. 070, once again, I took out the value of $25 and put in as listed on the town fee schedule.
Did you confirm that?
Yes, I have. Yes, I did. All right. 804 is noise. 804.10A, no changes. B5, blowing whistles. I took out to give notice to time to begin or stop work. I mean, no, We don't have any fig, so I took it out.
B number five.
Yeah, you're in AJ.
Oh, man.
And the same thing with number nine, noise near schools. I took out hospitals and sanatoriums because we're not going to be having any of those anytime soon either.
Yep.
Unless you count my house. All right, and that's the only changes I have down through 15 that are substantial. 804.020, violation.
You confirmed fee schedule?
Yes, I did confirm the fee schedule. And also in 806.010, as listed on the fee schedule, I did confirm that. And there'll be some places later where I tried to confirm and it wasn't in there, and I point that out. So wherever it says fee schedule, I looked. 806.020, obstructing hydrants. Nothing substantial there. Nothing substantial in 806.030, burning trash, rubbish, all that other stuff.
What's all this cross-reference? I mean, what is this?
All this cross-reference.
Well, just right under 0020, cross-references, and then a list of different things.
Oh, well, those were there before, but I did verify that motor vehicles and traffic is still in KBC 10. And this is talking about motor vehicles and traffic, so it's just referencing that section.
What's the purpose of having cross references there?
There might be additional provisions.
Okay.
In some cases.
So that's more just informative.
In some cases, there may be statutory authority.
Okay. So it's just informing somebody. Okay.
All right. And if there's wording, sorry.
Do we have to put in golf carts?
Only if we had a section on golf carts, which we do not have right now.
Okay.
Just out of curiosity, given Carolina Beach's decisions regarding golf carts, is Kiri Beach moving in any direction towards golf carts?
We are.
Yeah,
we're cars there.
Cars have to be street legal.
Yeah, they're moving
to
ours.
They have to be street legal, right. Looking at the Carolina Beach, it's not only street legal, but they said 35 mile per hour. It has to be certified at 35 mile per hour, where street legal is just 25, I thought. I mean, I could be wrong, but it's just
whatever the street legal laws are for golf carts.
So that's fine.
I think it can exceed 35
right.
miles an hour.
Yeah, I think it's all set forth in a general statute.
Okay.
With a model ordinance.
I just thought what they were saying was a little weird because they were putting miles per hour in there rather than just saying street legal. So anyway.
Okay, so throughout 806.030, I have nothing else substantial. That takes you a page or so. 808.010, nothing substantial there. Get into definitions, standard wording.
Authorizing official, is that T or something that needs to be taken out?
Shall mean the...
Authorizing official, capital T.
I believe that line across that was supposed to go through the T, yes.
Right.
Take that out. Right. 808.030, 808.040, 808.050, no changes. 808.060, no changes.
Who's providing the notice required under 88060? Second line shall be towed only after notice to the registered owner. Should we say after the building inspector provides? Somebody's got to provide that notice. And the building inspector is doing everything else.
Yeah, if we're talking about on private property, then it would be building inspector. If it's on public property, then it would be the police department.
Maybe that's why no one is. Because down further is the person who mails the notice shall retain a written record.
Yeah, but right now, this paragraph doesn't tell whoever's supposed to provide that notice they need to provide it. It's just kind of understood that somebody's going to do it. But that's not a good way to proceed.
Well, it says other than, wait a minute, I lost my place.
Well, I don't mind leaving it. It's less work for me, but I do think it's
It starts out except as set forth in 808.070. 80870 says that if it's on the street, highways department removal warranted. If it's obstructing traffic, the police department determines that. And it says other abandoned vehicles left on town-owned property, other than the streets and highways, and on private property, such vehicles may be removed without giving prior notice, only in the circumstance of the authorized official finds special. It still doesn't say who, though.
Because I think Bethany had that point. I think it depends on if it's on public, it's going to be Mike.
Right, but if it's on private,
it's going to be her.
If you look at 8870, second line in the first paragraph, authorizing official. Why don't we back up on 8860 and put only after the authorized official provides notice? Because it sounds to me like the authorized official would be the police for public streets and the building inspector for private property.
Okay. All right. That takes me down to 808080. Nothing there either.
Oh,
090?
Hang on a minute. I think based on our current discussion, right after the paragraph, right after E, the procedure the owner must follow, you see that?
Yeah.
Instead of saying the town shall attempt to give notice, why don't we plug in authorizing official?
Okay. I'm all the way through the 808s, Jim, unless you have something else.
Which brings us to 812?
Well, 810 was the real estate sign removal.
That's good.
Right, and then we could look at that in the section later. But that brings us to 812, correct?
And let me speak to 812. In your agenda packets, probably the last two sheets up from the bottom, or the last two sheets, you'll see the resolution the town council passed, or we can get it up on the screen.
It's one up from the bottom.
So.
R2408.
Yeah, can you get that on the screen? All right, what happened with this resolution was the town agreed that the county has the ordinance that prohibits abandoned vessels in the water. And when this resolution was passed in July 2024, the town said, county, you have permission to enforce your ordinance within our town limits. I don't think we need the provision in our code. We're okay to, we've told the county, yeah, you can take that ordinance and you can enforce it within our town limits. I think it's redundant and confusing to include it in our code when the resolution speaks for itself.
That's my recommendation, that we delete 812.
Jim, you good with that?
Last month, Carolina Beach had an individual for their town, but then they've got the harbor and everything.
Mm-hmm. So leave it or delete? Leave or delete?
I'm okay then with your recommendation.
I'm okay with deleting it also. It's just that most people, probably 99.9% of those people in Curie Beach, will never know that that even exists.
Well, if they've got a complaint, I'm sure they'll contact somebody. If it's not the county, it'll be Miss White. Miss White's
going to
call.
She's going to say, you need to call the county.
Okay. That's fine.
Thank you.
No problem with that.
By the way, I don't think we have any more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I've wondered about that, actually.
So I don't think we'll run.
Who's responsible for abandoned on the beach? Abandoned vessel on the beach.
The county.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it encompasses all of it.
The only thing I can think of in prior hurricanes is that we had a barge. It wasn't technically in Curie Beach. It came close. But there was a barge that was pushed up onto that grassy area. The barge was there for about a year, I think it was, a little bit further down in Fort Fisher area.
But, I mean, that's the good thing about now. The county can handle it. We can just...
Okay.
So, Joe, we're on 9 now?
Unless you want to jump to 15 and do the real estate signs, since we just deleted them from 1, before we lose context with that. Yeah, it's just the one page. And it's pretty much, it's the same wording.
And the 130 is the correct one, right?
Correct, 130 is correct.
Oh, then I just have one little comment. Joe has handled it in different ways. Specified on the fee schedule, listed on the fee schedule. Minor point, but the accepted legalese would be set forth on, so that's what I want to plug in.
Set forth on.
I'll just do a time and replace for that. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Right, so that's 15. Now, even though this is with Chapter 15, we don't have to do a public hearing and everything on it. It's word for word moving.
We're not.
There.
Think about that for a second. Let's just make it easy and say we don't need to do that.
Sounds good to me.
Well, for letter C, instead of it saying the code enforcement officer, should it say the building inspector?
Yeah.
If we're using the building inspector everywhere. Sorry.
We can always blame the building inspector.
For all the signs that are out right now. Yes, good. You can definitely blame it.
Your department gets some paper over.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm kind of stuck on the down road curve. I'm really running the traffic.
I
mean,
caught
in the sand. I don't know how
they get them out there. Like, it's like in the middle of the night or something. Like, they
just
appeared. Yeah, there's a lot of signs out there.
Is
that time of year?
Yes.
All right.
So
okay. Chapter 9. Animal service and controls. This one's going to go quicker because I'm already turning pages, Jim, on Chapter 9.
Thank goodness.
So I'm going to stop at 9-4-0-50 and make sure you have nothing before that.
9-4-0-50?
Yes.
I didn't have anything for a couple more pages.
All right. Well, this one is confusing. It's confusing with the town, with the fee schedule, because it talks about a first offense being $75. And then the second time is a Class 3 misdemeanor and $100. But if you go to the fee schedule, which we have here somewhere.
Right in front of the...
For 904.050, it only has the $100 penalty, which is the second offense. It doesn't list the $75 first offense. So it should list...
The second offense, when you get into civil penalties and criminal charges, it gets real complicated. I think the way it should read is subject to a civil citation as set forth on the fee schedule, because you told me we've got that, right? $100.
The $100 is on the fee schedule, yes.
Beat of $75. Keep for the first offense, and then I believe the rest of it is okay, because I believe my recollection of the statute is if you're going to do the criminal prong, you've got to set forth the amount No, that isn't right. It's a different, I'll fix it, but let me tell you what we're going to do. Any person violating the provisions of this article shall be subject to a civil penalty as set forth on the town fee schedule for the first offense, period. Person violating the provisions of this article, which I guess needs to be a capital A, a second time shall be guilty of a class 3 misdemeanor. And the rest of it is magic language. I just don't recall it exactly, but it's as set forth in NCGS 14-whatever. I'll fill in the blank, but that's the way that would be.
Okay.
So I'll take it from there.
Okay, well, in that case, the fee schedule has the $100 on it. So that needs to change to 75, or we just keep that at 100.
I'm taking 75 out of the code, and we'll go with what the fee schedule.
We'll go at 100. That's good. Perfect. All right, and that is my last discussion point for Chapter 9.
You took out effective day because it's effective.
Right. I think that's that.
Joe?
Yes.
On my fee schedule that's listed here, I'm missing second page. So the fee schedule.
That's the way it is online also. That's a blank page.
That's a blank page. Now, yeah. Where is the fee violation for dogs on the beach?
On the bottom of page 10, it's under KBC 904050.
Were you talking about the fee schedule?
On the fee schedule. It's about 8 lines from the bottom of page 10. Violations of dog regulations.
I just want to make sure we're consistent, because I believe in the...
We're doing the code to say as set forth on the fee schedule. We're not including the amount of the civil penalty in these text amendments. We're taking it out. Pointing to the fee schedule.
But are you saying there's other contradictory information?
I don't know. I don't remember where that shows up in our ordinances. Again, I have to go back and look. That prevents dogs on the beach. And whether there is a fee in there for violation of that. And is it consistent with this one? Because I thought we had reduced that one down to 20.
We had an inconsistency and council went with the 100.
I don't recall. Okay. Just worth checking again. I'll find it somewhere.
It's probably 904030. Dogs on the beach. But that's not in your handout because there were no changes to that, so you don't see it printed on the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You got 904030 in front of you?
No, I don't. No. Okay.
Can we look at it real quick?
What do we have there?
Just have the hours.
You don't have that?
Oh, wait.
If you click on it, just the hours.
$100?
$75 for the first offense.
Oh, the under penalty, right.
Okay. So what is it, $75 first offense and $100 for second?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Is that what the fee schedule
said? Well, and that's what it said here.
The fee schedule says $100.
So is the code.
Well, I think the fee schedule said 75, doesn't it?
It's 75 right here under penalty.
Code says 75 for the first.
Or 100. Okay.
Yeah, code says 75 for the first, and then class 3 misdemeanor fine 100.
I'm getting tired. So the code says what? 75 for the first?
Correct. 75 for the first offense.
And then misdemeanor for the second.
Class 3 misdemeanor and fine $100.
Mm-hmm. And that's what 904.50 said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's 904.50.
Right. That's what we just went through.
Mm-hmm.
that you were going to change, Jim. Right?
Let me just go back and look at, council has dealt with this matter. I just don't recall it right now. But I will revise these sections in light of what the council did when we amended the fee schedule prior to its adoption at the end of June. This is for discussion only. We're going to look at these more formally next month, so just let me look at that.
Okay.
So I'm going to be looking at 904.050 and 904.030, was it?
Right. Yeah.
30 is very simple. And it has no money in it at all. It just says the hours, 9 to 5, September, April 1st to September 30th. That's all it says. Okay.
I'll fix it.
All right. Those are the easy ones. So,
anything else with 9?
Hope that's it.
All right, moving on to 10.
All right, let's go on to 10, which is motor vehicles and traffic. And throughout 10, I did have a meeting back in August with Chief Bowden and discussed some of these changes in here also. So wherever I have a discussion point with him, I will let you know. So 10. Throughout the entire chapter 10, it must have been written at a different time than the others. It has the cross-references listed up front, and it has cross-references listed throughout. So all throughout, I took out the cross-references because they're all right up front. We don't need to be cross-referencing two times in the same chapter. So you'll see cross-references crossed out. All right, my first main comment is on 10.6.10, item E.
Hang on.
Okay.
10.6.10.
Item E, clinging to moving vehicle.
Okay.
The change here is after bicycle, we also specified motorized bicycle. This is something that the chief wanted to put in to get motorized bicycles in here more often. So you'll see that throughout. Also, where we talk about a bicycle, I'll say motorized bicycle.
Did you have any discussions with the chief about other motorized, like skateboards?
We discussed.
Well, those are in here.
Yeah, there are things. We'll come to that later on. Okay, it gets. We'll get it. But remember that in case we don't. All right, a little further down under item G, you'll see there it talks about a penalty of $10. Well, when we take that out and say list in the town fee schedule, that is not in the town fee schedule, that $10. So that's something that would have to be added to the fee schedule.
Let's back up a minute. What is G? What's the prohibition set forth in G? It should be unlawful for any person to invite, solicit, or seek a ride in the vehicle of another person while such person seeking such ride is walking or standing. What in the hell does that mean?
Wait, that kind of rolls out Ubers.
It seemed like it was be hitchhiking.
I think it's supposed to mean hitchhiking.
But I mean, it does.
While is walking or standing in any part of a public street, in between, it's talking about hitchhiking.
Well, I know, but if you're standing in the street and you're calling your Uber.
What do you all think about the meeting? Shall we do the G?
But there's two T's in town.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say that, but if we're deleting it, it doesn't matter.
in two separate sentences.
Not twice.
Huh. Yeah.
Does the commission want to delete G? What's the consensus?
I'm in favor of that.
That's fine. I'm okay with it also.
All right, it's gone.
Okay. Then item H1, about it being unlawful to drive, propel along the sidewalk situated in town, blah, blah, blah. We added at the end, this subsection shall not apply to lifeguard and emergency vehicles. And that was also discussed with the chief. All right. Going down. 10.6.20, item C, speed bumps. It lists three places where speed bumps are allowed, and there are no speed bumps in any of those three places. So in discussion with the chief, he prefers not to have speed bumps anywhere. So he would like, he said, take it out completely. There's no speed bumps, we don't need the paragraphs. Okay, moving along. Item 10.6.040. Now that's just a note, because this entire section went to council already and was approved, and I gave syntactical changes at council to it, Jim.
Let me comment. I've looked at your, Joe's right, council approved the e-bike regulations regarding the beach strand, point one. Point two, council approved them. Council's approval of those text amendments included the syntactical changes that Joe made, which I reviewed, and so those regulations are done. They include Joe's comments. I need to finalize those and get them to Bev to publish in the code. But the one outstanding issue in there was Joe noticed that for those vehicles that are allowed on the beach, there's a provision requiring a permit fee, which is not set forth on the schedule. What I plan to do for the October meeting of council is ask them, one, do they want to charge a fee? Because mainly it's handicapped vehicles that are allowed to get on the beach, and I'm not sure council wants to charge a fee for that. If they do want to charge a fee, what's the amount? And then make sure the fee schedule captures that.
Okay.
So Joe's syntacticals have been accepted. The outstanding issue with e-bikes on the beach strand, 10.6.040, is there going to be a permit fee?
Okay. So that's all we talk about with that. Going on.
10.8.020 is currently vacant.
10.8.020 is currently vacant. I think we just left the old title there, Through Streets.
Okay.
That's the old title, should come out just as reserved. 10.8.030 is good. 40 is good. 10.10. One of the definitions in 10.10.010, property hauling vehicles. I just reworded this a bit to break out semi-trailers and trailers and what it means, because it just kind of ran on, it rambled. So now it's just a little clearer. That's it for the definition section. Then in C, civil penalty for violations. For some reason, the number one turned red and struck out. I couldn't undo that.
I've had that problem.
But that's the only reason why the one is crossed out. And here it talks about the $25 for each violation. However, the fee schedule has $35.
The fee schedule, I've talked to Arlen about that, the fee schedule control. So
okay.
I would just say,
as per fee schedule,
set forth on the town fee schedule.
Perfect.
Period.
Perfect. All right, then. 10.10.040 saying, according to the general statute as specified in another chapter, 10.10.040, I think we should just take out in the amount of $250, very similar to the other one you were talking about with the general statute, because that governs. We don't need to specify the money. Okay. Going on, item D2. Again, another $25 late fee that is not in the fee schedule.
Well, I don't know that $25 late fee is the same thing as a civil citation penalty. It just sounds like a late fee to me.
Well, we have fees in there also. We have fees for everything in that schedule. It's a fee schedule. Just doesn't go under the section of civil penalties.
Well, are you saying that this late fee is not covered anywhere in the fee schedule?
That's correct.
Hang on a minute. Subsection C references a civil penalty. Did we just look at that?
Correct. We just talked about that one.
Yep. It is referred to, yeah, that's the 35. And it's set forth in subsection C about failure to meet this deadline shall result in a $25 late fee as set forth in the town fee schedule.
So is that saying on top of the general statute civil penalty, we're going to charge them $25 for being late?
Yes, in addition, that's mm-hmm. clear to me.
Okay. I think we need to add it to our fee schedule.
Yeah, we can just add it to the fee schedule and not bring it up to council.
Correct.
So, AC, $25 late fee to fee schedule.
Under civil citation.
Okay.
10-10-020, parking rules. I just make a comment there. We don't mention paid parking, dates, or violations or anything in our ordinance at all.
I don't think we need to.
That's fine. I'm just making a comment. I'm good with that.
I think the provisions, for example, if you look at A1, passenger vehicles should be parked only in designated parking spaces. And if you look at D, whenever a parking space is signed and marked as limiting the time and condition, no person shall park or stand except in conformity therewith. Those are the kind of things that Premium is enforcing, so I think the code covers that.
Okay, that's good. In the middle of 10-10-20A1, in two places I added or side yard.
A1.
I spoke to the chief about this because what happens here is it talks about unpaid public right of way where you can park in your yards, you can park in your front yard. Well, if you're on a corner house, your driveway is on the side. So this mainly applies to corner lots.
We need to be careful of that because one of the things council has always been careful about is not obstructing the side yards for emergency situations. I remember specifically when these were adopted, and we had a long discussion about the front yard, but they certainly did not consider it the side yard. So,
on a corner lot, I'm talking about, Jim. Because you can't really, if you don't have a corner lot, you can't.
I don't see is A1 limited to corner lots? Because I don't see that language. Maybe I'm missing.
No, it's not. But our consensus in our discussion was that if you don't have a corner lot, you can't get a car on your side lot for parking.
People can do things that you wouldn't expect them to do. Why don't we, if you really want this in here, then why don't we limit it by having a specific reference to corner lots?
Because it talks about parking on the unpaved portion of the public right-of-way. It's not an unpaved public right-of-way if it's between two houses.
After the or on corner lots.
Okay.
The side yard.
Right.
Would all corner lots have a side driveway?
No.
So that kind of...
It depends on which side is skinnier.
Yeah.
Your front yard is the skinny part. That's how your house is built.
I'm still struggling why we want to have side yard side yard in there.
Because my house is a corner lot, and that's where we park all the time. Because my door and my driveway and my garage is on the side. Because it's the 100-foot side.
Well, I think we got to be careful not to allow parking on two areas in a particular lot. You can't park on the side and the front.
I think that what we need to do for now is leave subsection A as it is and take this up as a separate matter with Bethany's feedback. Because it sounds kind of complicated. I'm not sure.
I think, technically speaking, you're really only allowed to have one right away that's like yours that you have to maintain, and we've had people fight that before and not mow one of their corners. So, and that's, I think that that's what that's implying, is that you really only get one side or one front yard right away that you're allowed to park on. But that, nobody's ever going to enforce that. Nobody's going to stop you from parking on your side yard.
I know, but I was just trying to fix the words.
I mean, nobody's allowed to park there either way because it's not a designated space. But I've also heard, you know, like, technically other vehicles, like realtors or construction vehicles, can technically park on one of those signs. Yeah, it's a convoluted, complicated issue that I really don't know the answer to. But I think, I don't know if it's right to put it in there just based on that fact that you're telling everybody they have to maintain those two sides. And, I mean, maybe that's okay to do, but I don't know if we want to do that.
Our recommendation is we revisit this.
So leave as is for now?
That's my recommendation.
Okay, that's fine. We'll revisit. But there's another major issue with this item number one. Right in the middle of the paragraph where it says property owners must keep unpaved portion, and this is what you were talking about?
Yes.
Okay, now I know why it's there. Okay. Yeah. I was considering that whole second half of the paragraph doesn't belong here. It belongs more in maintaining your house, not parking. Mm-hmm. So, but now with your discussion, I understand why it's here. Unpaved portion of the right of way abutting their front. See, I was saying, or side, I was adding side there also.
Yeah.
So that would make it, they would have to maintain it.
We could do that. We could add that in there, and that would mean you have to maintain, which most people do, maintain both sides because you want it to look nice. And that was more too of an issue before we had paid parking, because then technically one of those sides is open to everybody to park in.
Mm-hmm.
But now that you have to be in a designated spot, they can't park there either way, so.
Well, do you think that second or side clears it enough to make the change, or you still want to revisit?
I think it clears. I mean, it's basically saying that you need to maintain both sides. If you put side in, then yeah, we're saying you can park on both sides of the side and the front of a corner lot.
But you got to maintain it.
But you have to maintain, you also have to maintain both sides, which I think, like I said, I think
most people do.
Everybody does.
And also, you can't put any obstruction in the...
Well, you can't, and no matter what.
Right away.
Right, and it says that there.
No right away can you put any obstruction then.
I've always been confused when it comes to corner lots. Maybe Ms. White would agree to, if you all want to go forward and amend A1, maybe you all can come up with Ms. White's help with the language.
You know, just make sure there's nothing else weird in corner lots.
So
definition, but I don't think there is. I think that's the only spot it's mentioned.
I'm the only question I have here is that, I mean, this has been discussed several times. I don't know if we want to suggest that people could park on their side and their front in an unpaved area, because then it could look like a parking lot or a used car lot or something like that. And so my impression is that the council always was saying, yes, you could park, I mean, the front, but I understand the corner, maybe the front, maybe the side, and all that sort of thing. But you could park in one, but not down your sign, stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, we wanted to limit the amount.
You want to limit, so however this is written, we got to be careful that you're not going to allow, you know, parking on two different grassy areas around a house.
Yeah.
So today is discussion anyhow, right? So we're going to try to finalize this at our next meeting. And would it be appropriate to be able to just incorporate that one item into that conversation and then still be able to finalize?
I didn't follow your question. If you all want to include amending this article, this particular provision, as part of the process we're currently engaged in, I would ask Ms. White to draft it. Mm-hmm. I'm not following this conversation.
And so if we were to get that at the next meeting.
She gets it to me in time.
Before the meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll work with you, Bethany. We'll get together so we can come up with.
I mean, it's there has to be a decision made on what we want, though. I mean, we're talking about changing the code, because if we say that we want it in both, then yeah, like yeah. Craig said, then there's mm-hmm. going to be parking. There can be parking. There could be a line of like seven cars all the way around. If we're going to say we only limit it to one, then that means they can only park. And we're just talking about right of way. I know your driveway's on the side, but you're basically saying that you can't line cars up on the right of way on that side.
I can't park on the grass next to my driveway.
Yeah, exactly.
But anybody with a front-facing house can.
And you can park in your front lawn.
I could park in the front lawn, which is...
yeah, but not exactly. Both. Yeah. So.
Or you could say that you could choose one side. You can make it where you can, just like with a corner lot, I mean... If you're a square lot, you choose which side is your front. You can make like, well, you can choose which side is your parking area. But again, there's people that have driveways on both sides, so it's going to be hard. It's kind of one of those things you want to kind of leave alone.
My mom's house in Kira Beach has a driveway on both sides, on the front and on the side.
You might want to just think about that. I think it's a good idea that you think about a little bit and write something that allows flexibility but doesn't make it look trashy.
I would recommend that we carve this one out and revisit it later, give some thought in the meantime, come up with some proposals, but not include it in these syntax. Because from what I'm hearing, there's a lot of different dimensions to it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. So
can I ask another quick question about this? You know, we've been focusing on corner lots, but would this allow me, I'm not on a corner lot, but could I drive my car up my...
Well, that's going to be on your private property. So this is just talking about the town right away. So you would be, there's no town right away on the side. I mean, you would have the front on a regular lot.
That's okay.
You only have town right away on your front.
But would we allow that? Because we had that discussion too.
Yeah, we allow driveways on the side. There's just the impervious surface limit to your side yard. Yeah, you can. We have a lot of driveways on the side yard.
Yeah, no, I'm going around that way. Okay, all right.
But there's no right of way on the side yard. It's only on the front for regular lots.
All right. So the only change you're going to incorporate on this is the capital T in the second line, Jeff.
That's right.
And the rest we'll figure out.
Parking tickets for us.
So we'll leave it as there may be work done on this offline.
Right.
In advance of next month's meeting.
Or not. Or we just leave it.
Okay.
I think we
leave it
and not mess with it with respect to this particular
and then revisit
There's
it.
There's more to this one than okay.
The only
syntax.
Thing I'm going to do with A1 is change that T.
There you go. Change the T.
Perfect.
Okie doke.
All right. Moving on. PCDE. All right, I'm going. That was item A. A2, 3, 4, 5, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I'm up to H with no changes. Keep going through I. I have to go through 10, 10, 30, 10, 10, 40, 10, 10, 50 is my next change. Okay.
Question on 10-10-40. Designated, talking about handicap parking spaces. It's the only place where we define specific handicap parking spaces.
On the north side here, the first part of the reservation?
We have handicapped parking spaces all over.
All over the beach accesses, mm-hmm. Yep.
Everywhere.
Well, I'm not, you could read this provision as saying where the ADAs are, or you could read this provision as saying in addition to the other ADAs, make sure you have an ADA on.
Well, I'm just saying it doesn't make sense to just have Atlantic Avenue.
Yeah.
Because our handicap spaces have increased over the years since this was written, probably, mm-hmm. and that we're required to have more now.
I was going to say, why even say it?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Do you agree?
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
I
good.
I guarantee you that's why there's only those couple listed.
Because that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. So back in the day when they came.
Yeah, that was it.
That was it.
Okay. All right, 10-10-50, parking during state of emergency. There's also, this is a fee of $75, civil citation, and it's not on the fee schedule.
We don't necessarily close public parking during a state of emergency either. We're under a state of emergency right now, our public parking's not closed.
That was during COVID. We put that in because we closed the parking.
Because we closed the beach accesses.
And I guess there could be one where we do, because it says, mm-hmm. under a state of emergency, which closes public parking.
Oh, okay. Right? I didn't see the which. Sorry.
So we just want to reference the fee schedule and get it in there?
Yeah. I would think.
So the code currently says 75, but the fee schedule is absent?
Correct.
So tell AC to add.
75.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
With 10-12, are we at 10-12-10 yet?
Yeah, that's where I was going next, 10-12-10.
Is B really needed? Hands? You have to have two hands on the handlebar?
I don't know. I agree, but it was,
yeah.
It also has.
It's also, you'll have his hands. Too,
his hands.
So oh, what is this?
Gender neutral.
That does seem weird.
Yeah, especially if you don't have two hands.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
Right? I'm for taking it out.
Why are we taking it out?
I think it should be taken out.
Taking out B.
B, yep.
Can you ride on the handlebars on the bike path?
Can you ride on the handlebars on what?
Bike path.
So that's on A.
Now that's A. We're taking out B.
Yeah, but yeah, he's asking. Six, yeah.
What is riding on the frame?
Back of the frame, or like where the person's driving, and you got that little bar right there.
Sit there, yeah.
So okay. The kids can't. I see kids all the time.
I did too. I think we should just take it all out.
I think that should be taken out.
No. I think that I've seen a lot of people, especially on e-bikes, teens.
They load on there.
I've seen them with three people on one e-bike.
Oh, really? Because that back part on most e-bikes is actually a seat. But not the handlebars.
Not all e-bikes have
a seat. Not all. Yeah.
And I've seen handlebars. I've seen
a bar.
Somebody on roller skates hanging out of the back. Mm-hmm.
So I think we ought to
why don't we just say scratch out from when through the town for the operator of a motorcycle or bicycle to carry any person upon the handlebar, yada yada yada.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then take out B, right?
And then by referencing the code, is that where the penalty comes into play? Because there's no penalty noted.
There's like no citation.
That goes back to
1973,
huh?
Y'all were wild.
So it's
not like
that. I don't, you know, you can propose it, but the council makes the decision on it.
Well, I just think it's kind of strange to have you can't do it, but what's the punishment if you do do it?
Right.
Get off?
Yeah, I mean, I think most everywhere we're referencing what the penalty is.
Foundation fee would be.
Yeah, I would just take out B, you know, I mean, it's.
Set that.
I mean, you really want to have a fine, I mean, if they stop, they're going to be saying, well, stop doing that.
No, B's gone.
Yeah, B's gone.
B's gone, we're talking about.
We're in A, where A doesn't indicate what the penalty is.
Violations of this section shall subject the offender to a civil penalty.
There you go, any violation of that section.
Thanks, Jim.
That's why we got you, Jim.
We're paying the big bucks.
And it looks like it, it looks like ours worded correctly too, 14-4 is the rest of that.
Well, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, good.
All right, so let's go to 10-12-020, definition of bicycle. This was a, not a heated argument, but a very strong argument on the chief and whoever the new, the second guy. For the purpose of this article, motorized bicycles are considered bicycles. So from here on throughout this article, wherever you see a rule for a bicycle, it applies to a motorized bicycle. It is not a motorcycle.
I don't like one and two at all.
Well.
But we get very specific about them. I think moped is, I'm sure moped is defined in the North Carolina General Statutes. I don't have that in front of me, but I bet you the definition in the statutes for moped does not include e-bike.
The whole thing seems confusing. I mean, one's motor. What's the difference between motorized bicycles and electric bicycles?
Doesn't a moped have to have a license plate in the state of North Carolina? I thought it had to be
registered. Joe, what was the intention of having one be motorized and one be electric?
I got these words directly from them. And it's, they wondered this based on training and things that they've been going through.
Because I think motorized bicycles are thought of as e-bikes.
Yeah.
Right?
There are bicycles with gas engines.
Yeah, there are some with gas.
Well, okay.
You see them riding around town.
Yeah. But they're also electric, too.
And there are electric ones, but they're also gas-powered.
Yeah. But then two talks about electric.
I mean, why did the police chief want to put an electric bicycle under moped instead of including it as, with motorized bicycles in the bicycle?
Yeah.
Well, what he's saying is an electric bike without pedals falls under the category of moped.
I think that this, I know from experience that there's different definitions of electric bicycles. I think there is a statutory definition of moped, which, you know, if I, again, I wouldn't worry about this from our purposes, and I would ask the police department to draft whatever it is they want, and we can consider that separately.
We do have a definition for a moped in our ordinance already.
We do.
Does it include e-bike?
It says, well, no, it says a non-passenger vehicle other than a motor-driven bicycle or electric-assisted bicycle.
Which section has that definition?
10-10-10.
But the general statutes do say that mopeds must be registered with the North Carolina Department of Motor Vehicles, and they can't be 16 years or younger. And they must wear a helmet. So if we're classifying as, well, if your bike is considered a moped, then we're saying that they need to be registered with the vehicle.
And they're kids that have electric bikes.
Can't do that. So that doesn't.
I think we're saying this isn't ready for prime time, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
So what do you do with that? Invite the police to one of our meetings and let them.
Yeah.
So we're not going to make these changes.
Well, before our next meeting, I'll meet with the police chief again and see how he feels about this, if he has alternate words, and invite him to our next meeting. And that's how we'll go.
The main part is invite him to the next meeting.
That'll make his day.
Well, maybe it'll make him say it doesn't matter.
Okay, ready?
Okay, going on. We're all the way through to item R. Talks about the town fee schedule again, and it is on the fee schedule. So item R is good. Get rid of a lot of cross references. 10-16-10. Now this is, it's on 10-16 is taxi cabs. we added 10.16.10a to state, this article is applicable to taxicab businesses that are operated from a town location. Because if not, our police department is going all over the world chasing taxi drivers.
Is there a definition for taxicab businesses? The way you presented it, it would call for a definition, but I don't see one. I see taxicabs, I see other definitions, but I don't see it. Why don't we just say this article is applicable to taxicabs? Scratch out businesses.
Okay. But that are operated from a the intent was the business home was in this town. In other words, I live in Curie Beach. I own a taxi cab business that I operate out of Curie Beach.
I don't have a problem with operating from a town location. I'm scratching out businesses. Particularly based on the definition of taxi.
Right there to the right. It's on the right-hand side.
All right, that's fine. I don't think it's not going to come up because there are none.
That's the other thing.
And the chief did say that Carolina Beach has them, and they do follow all these requirements of the testing and the emissions and everything that we have to do that we don't have to do because we don't have any. So, all right.
Just by the way, very quickly on the taxi meter, taxi cabs don't have mechanical instruments anymore for that. They're all electronic GPS driven.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, you kind of capture that or device.
Mm-hmm.
So, but.
Yeah. Keep going, we're almost done. 10.16.20. C3,
10.16.20,
which is operators, and it goes to transfer fee expiration date.
Okay, 10.16.20, what is it?
C3.
Okay, the annual license fee?
Yeah. Now, this falls under taxicabs again.
I think it's because it would be considered a privilege license, and we don't have those anymore by statute.
Don't we still have privilege licenses? We just can't charge for them.
No, there's a statutory prohibition. We can only, there's a big laundry list of privilege licenses that we cannot have in practice.
So you're saying, Mandy, that we don't have a license fee or we can't have one?
Well, sometimes you can, but I would suspect this would have been preempted by a statute.
Yeah. I think it falls under, because it's the same thing. It's like your business license, your privilege license within the town. We don't have those at all anymore.
All right, so we take this number three out completely. Okay.
Wouldn't four come out too? Hmm.
It's not a license fee, it's a license to operate the business.
But we don't have any control over when that expires.
All right, if we're not, yeah.
Transfer fee expiration date.
Well, who issued
any
the
of these
license?
Licenses doesn't apply to us.
Let's go back up to operator's license.
Well, if they were involved, if something that the police were involved in, wouldn't that be one of the things the police would check?
Well, 10.16.020A has the chief of police receiving an application for a license.
Now go up, look at operators, 10.16.20B. Town council shall determine whether or not licenses shall be issued in accordance with this article for the privilege of operating one vehicle.
Right. These licenses,
but we don't have privilege license anymore.
Right. These license is another word for privilege tax. And we have our hands tied with a vast majority of privilege taxes that we cannot collect anymore. So I would take out 020.
Yeah, that whole section doesn't even...
That whole section contemplates us issuing the license.
And I don't think that
which is basically a way of charging, levying a privilege tax, and we're not allowed to do that.
Same thing with 30.
Well, that should save a couple trees.
Because it all goes to taxi cabs, and we don't control that here.
So what's left? Just 10, the general section? So why don't... Right? I mean, maybe we don't want to discuss taxi cabs at all, since we don't have any. And if we get one, we gotta write a procedure.
This article is applicable to taxicab businesses that are operated from a town location.
Yes.
But we still can't. We can't charge them a privilege fee.
Right.
But we can still require.
We can require things if we had a taxicab location in town, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because can't you just own like one cab?
And that's what I was wondering.
From your home, from your private home. So
right.
I think this is what that's trying to address. Is
mm-hmm.
we don't have like an actual cab company, but we could have individual people doing
Uber, essentially. But yeah. We don't do any of this. We don't.
We used to have a cab driver guy who does, his car would be parked in the...
Well, maybe we did, but yeah, we've never given him a permit.
Uber and Lyft fall under the umbrella of Uber and Lyft, which don't operate out of Kerry Beach. They
right.
operate
yeah,
elsewhere.
So, like, yeah. We don't have any...
I would assume those are all county licensed, all that.
Yeah, this would be if I want to open a Joe's Taxi. I got four cars, you know, parked on the side of my yard.
why we should keep that out.
So why we don't even need 10.16 for taxi cabs.
So,
it may be a good part-time job.
We may not need it.
So we're saying we would not want any control. Anybody can do it, and however they want to do it.
Is there a need for language?
My comment is
because if someone has a taxi van and then they start coming, like they move into town, and say the taxi owner that does own one in Carolina Beach also buys a home in Kerry Beach,
yeah.
And now we have to
mm-hmm. True, but
because there are still some that like are actual taxi cabs,
yeah,
especially in CP right now.
I think we save this till later. I think some research needs to be done. How are the jurisdictions handling?
Same thing with rental vehicles.
You can take out the privilege license part, but there's still some other things in there that might be worthwhile if you can take somebody else operating.
Can I come back? Just I'm not saying that I'm right, but I just did a little AI check right here, and according to this is that local communities can still have a privilege license. You just can't charge for it. You can still have a business license, and for people and
right.
for businesses, but you can't charge for it.
Right.
So we don't want to eliminate privilege license because we still have a privilege license here. We just can't charge for it like $20 like we used to.
I'd have to check the North Carolina General Statute directly on point. I'd like to know the reading of wording of that statute rather than...
Yeah, it says here...
When that came out, it was immediate. We stopped.
No, we stopped charging for it, but we
stopped having them the whole program.
AI might say no levying taxes. The statute might say no.
Well, they eliminated state-issued privilege license, but it says that you can get one. You still may need one from your city, town, or village, but you cannot charge for it. But you can check for that. And that was my impression what happened too, is that you can still have a privilege license or a business license, but you can't charge for it anymore at the local level.
Well, usually your business license, I guess, are for the county. But I mean, I don't know why. I don't know.
This is a big, meaty section. It might be one we revisit.
Maybe we'll
turn
it. All right, well, that's it then.
Well, what do we decide to do about taxi cabs or rental vehicles?
That's think your recommendation was to just
revisit it.
Punt at this point.
Yeah, I would.
All right.
Well, would it be worth talking to somebody, like maybe somebody on council, Dennis, on how to move forward with this? I mean, rather than go and present the changes and then come up with, well, why didn't you address this stuff? You just left it.
Well, maybe for chapter 10, we don't.
I don't think this is the role of the P&Z. You know, I think this has to be presented to eliminate a whole section like taxicab.
Yeah.
That has to be a council decision and discussion.
It's above
syntactical. Yeah, I mean, we've been recommending.
Yeah. But this is a huge.
Yeah.
That raises a good point. Chairman can bring this up to council during his report in the October meeting and say, you know, we're running into some issues, it's complicated. Right now, the existing regulations may need some significant revisions. What does council want us to do? Then it's off your shoulders and council is telling you what to do.
I'm good with that.
I personally don't see any reason to have this section at all, but I would be hesitant as a P&Z. I mean, it's not related to planning and zoning, making a recommendation for this. One way or the other.
Right. Well, I think that's what council's saying is, yeah, we're not going to make a recommendation.
Yeah,
we're just going to point out.
Should take it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're just going to bring it to your attention.
Yeah.
All righty. So we already did 15.
That's it.
Abandoned vessels was already addressed, and the fee schedule is something that we've been adjusting all along, right?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
So this will be coming back for us.
Yeah, it comes back here again.
Next.
All right. We had only one other item, and that was discussion of future P&Z initiatives. Craig, do you still want to cover that this evening?
Well, I'll just take it quickly. Just take 2 minutes. We don't have to talk about it. We can certainly put this off till next month. But we've been going for a couple hours already. Anyway, I just thought it's kind of interesting to look and see what are some of the issues that other P&Z communities are looking at. And I sent an email to everybody and a couple different documents you might want to look at. You know, obviously artificial intelligence is a big one. That's not looking at, you know, what things we should be focusing on, but the use of AI in writing, the sort of things that we've been doing tonight. Something we want to consider just to kind of maybe fool around with. It'd be kind of fun to do that. But clearly, affordable housing, environmental issues, quality of life, these are kind of the big issues. Some of them are certainly not overly relevant to Curie Beach, given what the type of community we are. But I thought I'd raise them anyway, just so we can be more informed. But, you know, maybe next time we can talk a little bit more about them.
I did look through the attachments, and like you said, some of the stuff is like, we can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some nuggets in there that we could pick out and improve with.
You know, some of the electric car charging type of issues and things like that. So.
Whatever happened with that? That went to the parking?
Parking was kind of dissolved or something like
it
that.
Slap.
Yeah.
The slap committee.
Slap. And nothing happened to it. So.
I do want to say, too, when you guys are looking at upcoming things to consider and projects to look at, those that are going to require attorney time, I'm going to need to start going to council and saying, or Jim's going to need to give me, like, I'm going to need X amount of hours for this research project, because we have a lot going on in town right now, and we've been calling on Jim a whole lot and putting a lot on Jim's plate and a lot on my budget.
We've got some things going that we need done.
Well, there's nothing that I sent that's pressing. I mean, this is just for discussion.
Right, I just want to say, going forward and in the future, when your email came, this was like the perfect time for me to bring this up, because I just need to budget accordingly for projects for Jim, and I need to make sure that I cover all the bases and not have, because I mean, I've had to go to council for money or Arlen for money, I don't know how many times this year for projects that have just popped up that no one was expecting.
Can I ask a quick question? Do we have a drone ordinance in Curie Beach? I swear there has been a drone above my house 10 times in the last.
Probably a storm, flood damage.
Yeah.
And it could be the fire department.
They have.
Police and fire
have been doing some patrol.
Have drones, but they are under restrictions by Sunny Point. There's very little that they can do without permission of Sunny Point.
I mean, there's a drone, a little thing buzzing around my house.
They're spying on you.
I know.
But I just want to keep in mind that we need to. So I need to budget accordingly if you guys have a big project that's going to require a lot of attorney time to research and do so that I build that in.
Do you start out the year with already a perceived budget and then you're managing to that budget and then you have to go to council for overage?
Speaking of budgets, when I first started 15 years ago, P&Z was actually allocated money, about $4,000. And that seemed to be, we never spent it. It just kind of.
We have committee budgets, and so there could be some money in there for planning and zoning. And I know this has come up before.
Yeah.
And I know there's some money stashed in Bethany's budget that we can sometimes use for professional.
We last used it for the HPs, for the historic overlay.
That's true, yeah, we use it for that, yeah.
Court
reporter.
But what ends up happening is that doesn't necessarily fall into Bethany's budget, it falls into mine.
Okay.
Under professional services. So,
but I think a lot of commission members may not know that we have been allocated actually some money, but I don't know if that's continuing.
I think going forward, if we want planning and zoning specifically to have allocated funds, then I have to take that to council at our budget retreat. Yeah. In January.
Yeah, and you invited me last year too.
Yes.
If we had a need to bring it to your attention.
Yeah, so you have a need specifically that you
guys want to. So it's a need specific rather than just kind of a budget right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of storm issues, and their focus right now is a lot on infrastructure and stormwater infrastructure.
As it should be.
So, I just am asking. Yep. Y'all got anything major coming up that's going to require Jim time to let me know so I can budget accordingly.
So do we want this as a carryover item or just something that just stays out there?
What are you talking about?
No, I would like to get a little more specific, you know, maybe next time, but not tonight. I mean,
his future.
Yeah, yeah.
Future items.
So you want to roll it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll just roll it over.
You okay with that, Beth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll move to the next agenda.
Okay. All right. Was there anything else anyone had for this evening? All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Joe, you want to hang out a while?
Right. Not leaving.
I have a motion. I have a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?